Don't pay retail for your diamond engagement ring or gift. Come to cleanorigin.com. Founded by a leading family in the diamond industry for more than a century, we're experts in lab-grown diamonds because that's all we do. Clean Origin, the only diamond jewelers who give you a 100-day, no-questions-asked return on your purchase. Head to cleanorigin.com or one of our retail stores and mention code RADIO10 for 10% off your purchase. That's clean, O-R-I-G-I-N.com, code RADIO10.
If you are a sports fan, you may know the term scoregami. When you have a score combination that has never happened before, you achieve scoregami. And this inspired our guest, Dr. Jonathan Call, to create WeatherGami. Instead of a Team A versus Team B, he looks at high temperature versus low temperature at each location. Now, while it sounds like fun to organize and visualize data in this way, it can have simple but digestible benefits to discussing climate data across the country. Let's geek out about WeatherGami with Dr. Jonathan Call. Thank you so much for joining us on the Weather Geeks podcast.
Well, you're welcome. Thanks for inviting me.
It's standard operating procedure on the podcast that I start with each guest and I ask, how'd you become a weather geek?
Well, when I was in college, my undergrad major ended up being psychology after switching majors 5 times. I had an epiphany one night when I went through all of my notebooks for all of my courses and realized, to my surprise, that my introduction to meteorology class back at the University of Michigan was the class that inspired me the most. So I switched gears and went into atmospheric science and got a master's and a PhD at Michigan. And I've been on the faculty at UW-Milwaukee for 35 years now.
Yeah, shout out to the University of Milwaukee, Wisconsin-Milwaukee. Dr. Clark Evans, I believe, is one of your colleagues there. Know him very well because he's a fellow Florida State alum like me, but okay. Also his cousin, Dr. John Knox, is one of my colleagues at the University of Georgia. We've sent a few graduate students up that way, David Nevius and a few others. So really nice small world here. Let me read a little bit of Dr. Call's background. He's a professor of atmospheric sciences, as you just heard, at the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee, and has been there for 34 years with his PhD in atmospheric sciences from the University of Michigan. I really like your story. I mean, I want to deviate here from my plan because you said something, because I know we have young listeners, perhaps in middle school, high school, and college, and you mentioned that you changed majors 5 times. Again, I was that weird kid that knew since sixth grade that I wanted to study meteorology. I did my sixth grade science project, can a wet sixth grader predict the weather? But everyone has a different path. And I think that's really an inspiring story that you may not go to college absolutely knowing what you want to do, but a course or a class or a professor or an experience can inspire you. So I just wanted to take that opportunity to sort of share that. Would you agree generally?
Yeah, I agree completely. I never would have predicted that I would choose the path that I ended up taking, but it was definitely the right one for me.
You know, I mentioned asking if you're a weather geek, but are you a sports geek too?
I don't know about a sports geek, but I'm a sports fan for sure. I love my Green Bay Packers and my Milwaukee Bucks.
Yes.
And I follow sports. Yeah, sort of a hobby.
Well, the only reason I ask is because this idea of WeatherGami is similar in concept to this concept of ScoreGami, which, you know, is a relatively new concept for me. We'll get there in discussing that, but I want to kind of just dig a little bit more deeply into your background. So you've lived in the Midwest for many years. Do you have a preference towards colder or warmer weather? I mean, in terms of WeatherGami, you're dealing with sort of temperature combinations. Are you a hot guy or cold guy or sort of in the middle?
Well, I guess I personally like everything except the super cold weather. I work in Mexico for about a month out of every year. And so the hot, the humid, that's fine with me. Not a big fan of the below zero Fahrenheit weather.
Yeah, which we just had some of recently, not only there in Milwaukee, but here in Georgia, too. Some of our windshields, at least, were down near zero or below. Now, let's get right to the topic of the podcast today. First off, explain to our viewers and our listeners what this concept of scoregami is so that then we can frame the weathergami conversation.
The scoregami is a concept that was invented by a sports writer, John Boyes, not that long ago, 5-6 years ago. And it's very simple. Scoregami is a score that has never occurred before. So for example, in a baseball game, when one team wins 4-3, that score has probably occurred 1,000 times before. But when one team wins 27-9, maybe that score has only occurred twice in the history of Major League Baseball. So when a score occurs that never has occurred before, that's called a scoregami, according to John Boyes. And I learned about scoregami not that long ago, about 2.5 years ago or so, when my son, who is also a sports fan, he called me up and he asked me if there's anything in weather like scoregami. And my response to that was, what's scoregami?
Because that would have been my response as well.
Yeah, hadn't heard about it. So he explained to me, and I thought it was interesting, and I looked online and I saw some of the scoregami charts that are available for the various professional and college sports. And I told him that, no, as far as I know, there isn't anything. And I looked into it and I confirmed that as far as I could tell, there really wasn't anything like that. So I downloaded 60 years worth of weather data, daily high, low temperature data for Milwaukee, because that's where I live, and plotted up a scoregami-like chart. And I found that it's very interesting. And I experimented with some other locations, and I learned that these charts, which I called weathergami, look very different from one location to another. And the charts kind of look like climate. Yeah. You can detect features of the climate in the charts. And so I sort of reasoned that I had kind of accidentally stumbled onto something. And that's where the whole thing started.
So this is really fascinating. I'm talking with Dr. Jonathan Call. I'm Dr. Marshall Shepard from the University of Georgia. And again, so many really new and interesting messages and lessons just from this conversation. Because again, we just heard about discovery and serendipity and curiosity. And now that has led to perhaps a useful new climate diagnostic or climate communication tool. So let's dig more into weathergami. I mean, what are some of the things that you're finding? Why is it useful? Why would you advocate that perhaps it get broader use?
Well, so weathergami, based on the definition, I suppose, is a high-low temperature combination at a particular location that hasn't occurred before in the period of record. But in my to my mind, it's the weathergami chart that is the most interesting, because the weathergami chart shows you things like the scoregami chart. If you create a weathergami chart for a tropical location like Guam, for example, it's a little bullet because the weather never changes there. It's almost always the same within a few degrees for high and low temperatures. Whereas if you look at a mid-latitude location like Chicago, then it covers a much larger swath of area on the chart because very hot temperatures occur, very cold temperatures occur. So one thing that we noticed is that in the standard meteorology textbooks, when they describe the climates of different locations, the graphic that's usually used is something called a climagraph, which is a combined bar graph, line graph where the bars show average monthly precipitation and the line shows average monthly temperature. So we're proposing to augment those graphics with a with the Weathergami chart, because that shows additional things, like, for example, the variability in climate and the seasonality of climate that is not necessarily shown on those graphs. Also, the extremes in climate. So that's one application.
Right. Yeah, this is fascinating, and just all kinds of questions are coming to mind. This is as a research scientist and professor myself, and I can clearly see that particular application. But you sort of left the door open that there are others I'd love to hear about.
Sure. Another thing we looked at is weather transitions. So if you imagine your Skorigami chart or your Weathergami chart that shows high temperatures on one axis, low temperatures on the other axis, if instead of that, you have the change in high temperature, you know, tomorrow's high temperature minus today's high temperature, and the same for low temperatures, then you see transitions. So for a site like Milwaukee, for example, the most common transition is very small, within a few degrees or so. In other words, the high temperature on one day is very similar usually to the high temperature on the previous day, and the same for low temperature. But the shape of these transition plots, again, tells you more about the variability in climate. So for a tropical location like Guam, or we also looked at Honolulu, the transition from one day to the next is very, very small. One day is very similar to the next, where for a mid-latitude location, the transition is usually small, but it can be quite large, as much as plus or minus 30 degrees from one day to the next. So those kinds of diagrams tell you something about the average variability in the climate of a location. And that is another example of the kind of information that is lacking on the standard climagraph the textbooks use to describe climates of different locations.
So I wondered, for those of you that are watching on the Weather Channel streaming channel, this gives you a sort of look at what it's like. But if you're listening in our standard podcast outlets, there is an X account, X is formerly Twitter, has been made to track Weathergamis across the country. Are you involved in that? And I see that they've coined something called Ultra Weathergami. So is this something that you're involved with?
I am not involved in that, although I do follow it. And that brings up an interesting point. So the Twitter or X community discovered Weathergami shortly after my bulletin of the American Meteorological Society article was published. And the interest has been pretty big. There's almost 6,000 followers on the Twitter Weathergami page. But interestingly enough, the Twitterverse, or I don't know if we call it the Xverse now.
The Xverse now, whatever.
Yeah. What they have discovered and started paying attention to is the novelty of Weathergami. How it's cool to, you know, have a Weathergami, to have a temperature combination, high-low temperature combination that never occurred before. And the people that create this page, they run their software on something like 300 weather sites a day now. They've coined some additional terms. An anti-Weathergami, according to the people who run the page, is when the most commonly occurring high and low temperature combination occurs. The most frequently occurring combination occurs. And then they also defined an ultra Weathergami, which is the chart that you just waved in front of the camera there. An ultra Weathergami is when a high-low temperature combination occurs which has never occurred at any climate site before. One of those recently occurred in Denver. So that's great. I'm glad that people are having fun with this concept. I'm personally, for the research part of my interest, I'm interested in more of the applications of WeatherGummy rather than the novelty. And that's something that I'm working on into the future.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
1, 2, 3, 4. Those are numbers, but you already knew that. If you want to know what number you're going to pay each month for your car, use Kelley Blue Book My Wallet on Auto Trader. They're really good at numbers. Auto Trader.
And we are back on the Weather Geeks podcast. I'm Dr. Marshall Shepard from the University of Georgia, and I'm speaking with Dr. Jonathan Call from the University of Wisconsin, Milwaukee. And we're talking about WeatherGummy. Google it. Take a look at the Twitter X site, because I guarantee you, if you're listening to Weather Geeks today, or if you're watching Weather Geeks, this is a new concept. I'm almost positive. I mean, certainly some of you probably have heard of it, but look, I've been in the field of meteorology for a long time now, and you know, I was not as familiar with it until I came across Dr. Call's paper in the Bulletin of the American Meteorological Society, which is a main organ for our professional society, or one of our main professional societies, the AMS. So it's really an honor. Now, I can sense that there is potential application or use of WeatherGummy and tracking changes in climate. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Sure. That's another thing we've started to look at, although we've only barely scratched the surface. We showed in the article that when you look at some of the standard kind of graphics that showed climate change, like, average temperatures over the years, how they've increased, those are lines on a graph that they might have a few wiggles, but they basically are increasing, let's say, that shows that places are getting warmer. Well, what we've done is we've produced WeatherGummy anomaly charts. So you have the WeatherGummy chart for a location, and then you can take, let's say, the WeatherGummy chart covers a 30-year or a 60-year period. You can take the WeatherGummy chart for the first 20 years of that 60-year period and subtract from it the overall 60-year period, and the same for the latter period. So you have now anomaly charts, which show how specific temperature combinations have been changing. So we did this for San Francisco, and we found, for example, that low temperatures and the high temperatures are both increasing, over the past 60 years, but the minimum temperatures, the low temperature of the day, are increasing more than more consistently than the higher temperatures. And furthermore, that this increase in temperatures is preferential for the cooler days in San Francisco. The warmer days are not in getting warmer as much. The colder days are the ones that are getting warmer. Now, I don't know if this particular result has any grand significance, but this is an example of the kind of things we can look at with the weather gradient analysis.
Really fascinating. And it's consistent with what we've seen in, for example, recently, the fifth National Climate Assessment, this idea that the minimum temperatures are increasing more dramatically. In fact, I was showing something to a class just recently with that figure. And of course, why that matters, the so what, oftentimes in terms of heat and health, and perhaps not so much in a place like San Francisco or the Bay, but it's the minimum temperatures, and when they stay elevated, particularly during heat waves and so forth, they can be a problem from a health concern. Have you and your team experimented with any ways to create animated visualizations of the weather gami, or are they more effective as static images?
I've messed around with that a little bit. I think that that's also an interesting possibility. There are some technical challenges because if you use a period of data which is relatively small, then every day is a weather gami because right. There just aren't enough days yet to cover all the combinations. So we're still working on that, but that's another interesting possibility because, as I'm sure you know, there are a lot of very interesting climate animations that allow you to visualize different aspects of climate around the world. And I think that's also possible with weather gami, but you'll have to check back with me in a few months.
So I'm just fascinated. I'm sorry, producers. I'm going way off script here in terms of some of the things that have been prepared because it's just fascinating to me. So, you know, one question that comes to mind is this something that has to just be anchored to temperature? I mean, what about moisture variables, precipitation, other types of things?
Yeah, that was something that we thought about when we put the article together. There's no reason that the X and Y axes of these charts have to be high temperature of the day, low temperature of the day. Yeah. It could be other things like precipitation or wind speed or peak wind gust or whatever. There are a lot of options. I don't really know what kind of potential it has. I have seen on X, someone experimenting with using soundings, you know, do something they called soundagami, where you plot 500 millibar temperature versus 500 millibar height at a location. Why not? Any of that stuff can be done. The trick is to find something that actually tells you something new about the climate. I talked with a colleague, Tracy Boyer, here at UW-Milwaukee, who's an economist, and she was saying that there are some opportunities for climate risk perception to use similar graphs like this. And that's a good idea, but it's really wide open at this point.
It really is. I'm talking with Dr. Jonathan Call. Just a fascinating discussion. I'm a satellite guy at heart. I spent much of my career at NASA Goddard Space Flight Center before coming to UGA. So I'm immediately thinking, because I imagine you're mostly using station data and collecting your temperatures where you've got a first order station or perhaps a co-op or some other type of observation. But there, most of the world is not covered in weather stations because it's ocean and cryosphere and ice and deserts. I'm wondering if there have been opportunities by you or others to look at combinations of temperature from non-traditional sources like satellite data and buoy temperatures and so forth. Have you kind of ventured into those realms?
I have not, but it's all brand new.
This whole idea. We should talk.
Yeah. Well, idea is only 2 or 3 months old.
Yes.
Um, But yeah, one thing that occurred to me is that these weather GAMI type charts could be useful in model validation.
Right.
For example, remotely sensed temperatures that are co-located with an in-situ sensor. You can have sensor one, sensor two plotted against each other. That could be a useful way. It's similar to a two-way contingency table for model validation. That is another potential use for this. Another one that comes to mind is I've been involved in the development of models for predicting peak wind gusts. And so to adapt this thing to different aspects of wind, you know, where you have perhaps one axis being the mean wind speed and the other axis being the peak wind gusts, or one model prediction versus another model prediction, it really is wide open, and I'm just beginning to explore the possibilities.
Yeah, it's just an amazing, I'm curious, and I'll ask you this after we come back from the break. I've got so many questions.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey. Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey. Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
And we are back on the Weather Geeks podcast. I'm Dr. Marshall Shepard from the University of Georgia, and I'm speaking with Dr. Jonathan Call from University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee. Now, as much as we've talked about weather GAMI, this isn't what everything that you've done in your career. Obviously, this is something fairly new. What are some of the other things that interest you in terms of your research?
Well, I've usually been involved in air pollution meteorology. And specifically long-range transport. I've done a lot of work with atmospheric trajectory models, the development and the use of such models and the applications of those models to transcontinental air pollution problems like acid rain and Arctic haze and visibility reducing aerosols in the Southwest. Currently, I'm involved in some studies with some Mexican scientists who are studying acid rain and the transport of toxic air pollutants in Mexico.
So acid rain, just for the listeners and viewers, and I think you and I know that, but acid rain is still a thing, right?
Oh, yeah. Acid rain hasn't gone away. Back when I was working on my PhD dissertation in the 80s, acid rain was the environmental issue of the day. Now, of course, it's climate change. So, for example, in the United States, we have this wonderful network called the National Acid Deposition Program that has sensors over the entire country. But in Mexico, they don't have a network of sensors like that. And so that work is just starting. So I'm involved in that. I've also, in the last 5 or 10 years, been increasingly involved in more micrometeorology kinds of pursuits. We've created a number of models for predicting peak wind gusts, and with some graduate students, we're trying to refine and create new models for that. And those kinds of things have been keeping me busy.
Yeah, just fascinating. So you see that the work of a scholar or professor or scientist, you know, it's one of the things that attracted me to the academy as well from the federal system where I enjoyed my time at NASA, is that you have the curiosity and the ability to really explore interesting topics. And I think in some cases, very traditional sort of pathways, as we've heard from Dr. Call, but then sort of serendipity here. I think you owe your son here. So let's circle back to scoregami, because you've kind of given us a really nice overview of 101 of how weathergami. Circle back to scoregami. Is that something that's utilized more by sort of teams for statistical analysis or in the betting and gambling community? I don't have any familiarity with how it kind of, what place it has within the sports community.
Well, I'll start with the disclaimer that I am no kind of expert on scoregami, but I know that it figures into sports betting.
Okay.
I know that there have been some jokes. Pete Carroll, coach of the Seattle Seahawks, you know, famously said that, yeah, we've been practicing for scoregamis.
Yeah.
I don't know. I kind of doubt that, with the exception of sports betting, there's some people that are making money and losing money, I suppose, off of scoregami. I don't know that it's much more than a curiosity.
Yeah, I was curious. And I was curious also if there are just any analogs that you've come across to these concepts in completely different fields. I mean, it just feels to me like there'd be analog analyses or approaches in some other fields, or medical, economics. I don't know.
Yeah, that's an interesting thought. Beyond sports and meteorology, I haven't really looked into it. I guess the only other thing I've thought about is there's a concept called the word cloud.
Yes.
And the word cloud is very similar, because the word cloud is a clever way to display the occurrence frequencies of different words in a document. And if you think about it, that's what weathergami and scoregami is. It's a way to show the occurrence frequencies of bivariate data, you know, opposing team score, home team score, high temperature, yeah, low temperature.
Well, I want to commend you, because I think one of the things that I'm always interested in is better science communication. I mean, I think we often are sort of steeped in our ivory towers, and we have our methods of sharing data to our science community. And ultimately, sometimes that needs to get out more broadly to the public or to stakeholders, policymakers, and the such. And I think you're really on to something here. This has been so fascinating. I want to thank you for joining us. Is there anywhere that people can find you out there on the internet or in social media that they, if they want to follow you?
Well, if you Google me, you can find my website at the University of Wisconsin Milwaukee, and my email is there, and I'm not hard to find.
Yeah, and by the way, it's Dr. John Call or Jonathan Call. Call is K-A-H-L, even though it sounds like C-A-L-L. Dr. Call, thank you so much for joining us on the Weather Geeks podcast.
You're welcome.
I'm Dr. Marshall Shepard from the University of Georgia, and we'll see you next time.
Look around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader, like that car riding your tail. Or if you're tailgating right now, all those cars doubling as kitchens and living rooms are on AutoTrader too. Are you working out and listening to this ad at the same time? Well, multitasking pro, cars like the ones in the gym parking lot are for sale on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on AutoTrader. Just you wait. AutoTrader.